Richardson on the LOP Lobster Network.
You're listening to 100.5 FM. It's one of my favorites by Genesis, Abacab. You can hear why. David Jones is here. Dee Dee Richardson is here. And Dr. Peter Earle is hanging on the line from the American Institute for Economic Research. Doc, thanks for hanging around.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always good to have you on. So, I wanted to ask you, I don't think we got into the jobs report that came out for January the last time you were on. I think we started to talk about it, and we really didn't get into it. But the jobs report that came out, I think it was 143,000 jobs or something like that, it was actually much more dismal than it was reported to be, because about 70% of those jobs were in healthcare and government, which means it really wasn't bold. I mean, 143,000 is below population growth, so it's not even keeping up with population growth. But it also was growth in government, which is something we don't need.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the number came in at, I think, 143,000. Which is below the 175. I actually thought it might be a blowout because of the holidays and the recovery from some of the disasters we had at the end of last year. But yeah, I mean, it was way below consensus, and you know, basically we saw that you know, service industries, you know, and especially those that are, well, not service industries, but service industries on one hand, and jobs that are with a proximity to government, right? Healthcare, social assistance, government at the municipal and state level, that's where a lot of the job growth was. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, look at that, you know, and I'm certainly nobody who I'm speaking with right now, but there are a lot of people out there who are going to say, oh, you thought you'd bring in this new president and, you know, he would change all these things. These things take time, right? There's a turning radius to this. And, you know, government hiring was, I think, 30,000 jobs. But I mean, I think we're going to see that change. That trend is going to end really soon. And by the way, the BLS report that we saw showed kind of meager growth in manufacturing. But I looked at Institute for Supply Management, S&P Global Services, and all of them show that actually manufacturing jobs are already starting to come back, which is very interesting. The New York Manufacturing Index, a few of the others are all showing, Philly and Richmond Fed, all show stronger hiring momentum in manufacturing. So, you know, just giving business people this idea that things are not, there's not going to be a rug pull, right? Things are not going to change with suddenly new regulations and with DEI and all this other garbage. You know, that's already giving people the confidence, business owners, to start hiring again.
Yeah, well, we've seen that. We've seen there's a car manufacturer in Mexico, I think it's Nissan, who, because of the tariffs, said they're coming to America now. They're going to close their plant and
come
to America.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
I mean, that's the whole idea here. The president wants to bring manufacturing back to our country. I know people fight it. I don't even understand why they fight it, because manufacturing jobs are good jobs. Those are reliable jobs. And more importantly, it strengthens our nation when we aren't reliant on a foreign nation, particularly an adversary like China, for everything.
Yeah, I mean, in principle, it's always good to not have to rely on someone else. It's just that it would be impossible for the U.S. to make every single thing it needs. We have a huge and very complicated economy. It's good to have manufacturing back for a few reasons. You know, as long as it's competitive and not being subsidized, which it's not. These are all steps in the right direction. I mean, you could go too far in one direction and say, okay, we're going to do all these things to create manufacturing jobs, or you could just, you know, sort of have the government step away from the job market, step away from the productive economy, and say, listen, we're going to basically set up. You know, we're going to make the bed, and whatever lays in it, you know, whoever lays in it, that's fine. We're going to set up the conditions for business, but we're not going to try to dictate what businesses will survive and where we're going to put our emphasis. And that's what's happening right now, and that's a very positive thing, in my opinion.
So why do you say it's impossible to make everything within the boundaries of the United States?
Well, I mean, whether we're talking about the resources that we have, or let me just say this: we could make everything we need, but some of it would be just lousy. It would be low quality. Specialization over the last 70 years has allowed us to kind of like make what we are best at and buy things that other nations are good at. I mean, one of the reasons why right now so many things are made overseas is that there's no minimum wage. There's, electricity is cheap, things like that. Until or unless we were to find a way to pay people those wages and, so that they could survive and have those low sort of resource costs, there's no autarky is possible. You can't have an isolated nation that just makes everything of its own unless you want things to be costly and in some cases inferior.
So it's energy costs
around the world.
Right.
That's part of it, sure. Yeah, energy costs is part of it, but also, we, for better or worse, we have collective bargaining in this country, and to the extent that manufacturing costs, labor costs are a big input in manufacturing. Mm. It's going to be very hard to tell U.S. workers that they're going to have to live on what workers in, say, Africa and Southwest Asia and some used to be China and Hong Kong earn.
And India, right?
India, yep, of course.
Hmm. So let's talk about, as we bring manufacturing back to this country, what do you see overall? What is the sector we could most benefit from in manufacturing?
Oh, gosh. I think that, there are certain things that we, to the extent that manufacturing requires... David was just saying...
Doc, I hate to do this. We have got to take another break. Can you hang around to finish that question?
Yes, I can.
All right, absolutely. I appreciate it very much. We'll be right back.
For the car you desire. For trade-ins, you can visit cars.com along with Kelley Blue Book to find out how much your vehicle is currently worth. And to assist with negotiations, experts say it would be wise to run your vehicle through multiple trade-in offers. In addition to knowing car values and a fair going price, you should know your credit score and loan offers so you know what kind of rates and terms you might be eligible for. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This Channel 8 newscast is brought to you by Dirigo Public Affairs. They take pride in making sure they create a customized strategy to meet their clients' unique needs. Find out more at DirigoPublicAffairs.com.
Hey, good morning. Here on this Tuesday, February 18th, I'm Terry Stackhouse. Here are Maine's total coverage headlines from Channel 8. In Augusta, dozens of Mainers show up for a protest outside the State House on President's Day against the Trump administration. This was part of a nationwide effort from the group 5051 pushing back against what they consider an overreach by the new government. More than 100 skiers and snowboarders at New Hampshire's Pat's Peak had to be rescued from a ski lift, this after it malfunctioned yesterday. It took about 90 minutes to get everyone down.